I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 3 seconds left. Out goes a ball that's been sitting there on the damp grass. In comes a kicking ball, and here is Jake Moody. Snap a bit high. Kick is good, and the Bears win. Jake Moody, a hero tonight. The Bears will move to 3-2. The Commanders fall to 3-3. And Moody, in his first night on the active roster for the Bears, kicks 4 field goals in a 1-point win.
Jake Moody lifted off the field and carried as if he was a Super Bowl champion, but that's what it felt like today, or yesterday, excuse me. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Going to talk about Jake Moody a bit more in just a second, but want to give you the rundown of what's happening today on 670 The Score, of course. So I'm going to be with you all the way till 5 o'clock, live and local, taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. I'm leading you in right into Dustin Rhodes with the pregame show. Of course, Dustin Rhodes, executive producer of Mully and Hall. They'll take over at 5:30, and they got some great guests lined up for you. Olin Krutz is going to jump on with the fellas at 7 o'clock. Then Dave Wannstedt, yes, Coach Wani, 7:40 a.m. will hang out with the fellas. And their last guest of the day, T.J. Edwards of the Chicago Bears, fresh off the victory. He's going to be hanging out with the fellas as well. Then Raheemi Harris, Mark Grody. At 11 o'clock, they got Patrick Manley, who just finished the postgame show with Olin Krutz, and Chuck Swirsky, who did a great job. Then they'll have Anthony Herron at 12:25. Then Spiegel and Holmes rounding things out with Kurt Warner at 2:40. And then Matt Forte, my guy, at 3 o'clock. And if you didn't hear, he's my guy because I DJ's his birthday party. Maybe about, I don't know, a while ago. I know, random little fact there for you. But back to Jake Moody, who, of course, spent the first 2 years of his career with the San Francisco 49ers. Here's some stats with Jake Moody and why maybe the Niners pulled the plug on him this season. So first year, he was 21 for 25. Let's not forget, this is a guy that took over ultimately for Robbie Gould. They had to find a replacement for him. They went via the draft, picked in the third round, 99th pick in the draft. I thought I was mad at Torrey Taylor. Imagine the 49ers fans drafting Jake Moody in the third round and then cutting him a couple years later. Sheesh. So first season, 21 for 25, 2 for 3 from field goals over 50 yards. His long was 57 back in 2023. Then in 2024, that's when things got a little wobbly. He missed 3 games, but he was 24 for 34. That's not good enough. 10 missed field goals is just not where it's at. And, of course, that's what put him on thin ice. Majority of those misses were coming between 40 and 49 yards. He missed 5 of them from there, then missed 5 that were longer than 50. But he was perfect from 20 to 40 yards. Then this season, of course, 1 for 3 on the season. And one of those misses came from extra point land, a 24-yarder that he missed. Then he missed a 37-yarder, and that's when Kyle Shanahan ended up cutting him. Bears pick him up. Ben Johnson, obviously familiar with his work, felt like he needed to change the scenery, boost the confidence. Sometimes that ends up happening. And today, 4 for 5 on the day. His only miss was a block. Was a blocked kick. Of course, Deron Payne ended up blocking that one, 48 yards. But when it mattered, you saw the confidence Ben Johnson had for him. He didn't say, let's take a shot in the end zone and try to win this thing. No. Caleb Williams, I'm going to run you to the left. You're going to line up on the hash mark that Jake Moody wants, and you're going to allow him to connect. Now, Jake Moody, our MVP for the day, ended up talking on the post game, and here's what he had to say about his spectacular night.
Was that a common occurrence to have teammates tonight introduce themselves to you, just given like you just got here and the moment that you were put into?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big team. Not going to get a chance to meet everybody right away, but, you know, like he said, I'm glad to be on the team, glad to be a part of this, and, you know, can't wait to formally meet everybody else at some point.
Jake, when did you find out you were going to be kicking that?
Found out not too long ago. You know, Cairo was kind of, you know, seeing how it felt all week, seeing if he could go, and it kind of came down to the last minute, you know, whether or not he could play. Because, you know, Cairo's an amazing kicker. You know, for the team's sake, like, you want the best guy in there. And, you know, I'm just glad I was able to come through for the team. And, you know, whether it's me or Cairo, like, you know, I got no doubt Cairo would have made all those kicks. And, you know, hopefully he heals up soon.
Jake, what were the conditions out there?
It was obviously wet, pretty windy as well. The wind was kind of tough. It kept shifting a little bit. But, you know, nothing I haven't played in before. And, you know, you just got to treat it, you know, one kick at a time. Don't worry about any of the other stuff. Just focus on, you know, each kick with, you know, everything you have.
Well, how did you describe your emotions? A month ago, you got waived by the 49ers. You go on a practice squad and you get called up and you have a game like this to win the game at the National TV Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it feels amazing, obviously. Hitting a game winner is always a good time. You know, doing it for a new team in my first game, it's huge. You know, shout out to the O-line, shout out to Scott and Tori. They've been making my job real easy out here, and the transition has been really smooth. So glad to be a part of a team like this, and we're going to keep moving forward.
The one that got blocked, what happened on that, and then was there any adjustment that either you made or that everyone made as an operation before the last kick?
You know, honestly, I can't really tell. I'm, you know, looking down at the ball. I can't see the protection or whatever's going on. You know, obviously, I'll try to hit a higher kick if needed, and you know, we'll watch it on tape and assess, you know, what happened. But you know, you gotta always think about the next kick, not think about the previous kick. And I knew that our guys would come through, and we'd have great protection, a great operation, and all I had to do was, you know, just kick it straight.
Social media. What should you do in the last couple of weeks to build your confidence back up after week one?
Just, you know, get reps, simple as that. You know, I like to think if you're over prepared for something, you know, there's no reason that you shouldn't be confident. So just preparing every day as if, you know, I was going to play. You know, even prior to Cairo being hurt, just always staying ready for whatever. Treating every kick like a game rep. And, yeah, just staying ready for whatever.
The Bears posted a video of you being held up by your teammates after that kick. You know, what's that like given the fact that you didn't even know you were playing until, you know, very...
Yeah, it's a pretty cool series of events. You know, a couple days ago, didn't know I was playing, and, you know, to getting lifted up by my teammates, it's an amazing feeling, and really glad, you know, I got to share that moment with them.
Jake, Jake Romadunze said maybe you didn't get the best night of sleep last night or a shower issue. Was that the case, and how were you feeling coming into this?
Yeah, you know, I was sleeping in like a little, like, twin bed, wasn't the most comfortable, and my shower was either, you know, ice cold or burning hot. I couldn't get it to, you know, go in the middle. So took a nice ice shower before the game, and you know, that might be the new tradition that I start. We'll see.
You said at the team hotel you were in a twin bed.
It might have been like a full, or I don't even know. I like a nice big king bed because I like to sprawl out. So it was fine. I was just making excuses.
Did you find out before you got to the stadium that you were going to be kicking, or was that something you said you found out a little bit ago? Like, was it, you know, during warm-ups? Like, when was that?
No, it was before. So, you know, got to wake up and knew I was going to be kicking, you know, before we came here. So I was able to, you know, kind of prepare mentally and just be ready for, you know, the game.
When we talked in Chicago, you said that Cairo has been helping you. Like, he really welcomed you. Has he been communicating with you throughout this process?
Yeah. You know, we traveled Cairo and, you know, we were ready for whatever, and very, very glad that we did travel him. He was a lot of help during the game. Just, you know, he's kicked here a fair amount, and, you know, he was able to kind of help me with the wind, with the field surface, all that stuff. So I was very glad to have a, you know, extra set of hands on hand, and, you know, shout out Cairo. He's been a great help through all of it.
In terms of where you wanted the ball, what was the communication like leading up to that kick with the coaching staff?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I told Coach Hightower, you know, just have the offense run whatever play gets them the most yards. You know, I don't really have a preference. Maybe going the other direction, I would have had a different preference. The wind was a little tougher that way, but you know, I just said get as many yards as you can. Like, doesn't matter to me. And then, you know, it worked out to where we got to the point where it's like, all right, we can center it up. It'll be like an extra point. So it was good communication by the coaches and, you know, the offense. It was, you know, made my life really easy.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
How have you stayed mentally tough through struggles? Through the things that you've gone through, and even today having the kick blocked, how did you stay locked in through all of that?
You know, I've been working with like performance coaches, and you know, doing a lot of self-reflection and stuff, and you know, always just believing in myself, not thinking about, you know, the previous kicks or anything like that. Just always focused on the next kick. Keep a nice neutral thought process for every kick, and just, you know, always focus on the next kick.
It's Jake Moody right there, the man who they mentioned was lifted off the field by his teammates. It's got to feel good when you're thrown away, especially as an NFL kicker. As I mentioned before, he missed 10 field goals last year, was 1-for-3 this season before getting cut by Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. You're on the practice squad. You're, you know, not necessarily thinking you're going to play this soon into the season. Obviously, a lot of praise for Cairo Santos, as you should. You know, I do a lot of fill-in work, right? So when I fill in for somebody, despite me wanting the gig, you still, you know, give praise to the people that are there. And I thought he did a great job of that, saying Cairo would have made those kicks as well. Didn't want any type of controversy. But, you know, you love the poise. And I love the question at the very end. You know, how do you deal with this? And you love the fact that he's being proactive, dealing with coaches, you know, performance coaches, trying to get the best out of yourself. But I did notice one thing in particular about Jake Moody. So during the first two field goals, as they were zooming in on his face, he would stare up at the goalpost before kicking. He stared up there. Then he looked down at Torrey Taylor and was like, all right, I'm ready to go. The blocked one, he didn't look up. Go back and watch the tape. Didn't look up at that one. And like he said, I was looking down the whole time. He said it in the press conference. It's something that you might want to look into when it comes down to that one. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. You get the victory. 25-24. Bears take this one. I felt like it was a much-needed win. Because, I mean, you start 0-2. Only two teams in the NFL started 0-2 and ended up 2-2. That's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Bears. And so to prove that it's not a fluke, to prove that there is some sort of forward momentum, you know, it's like you're forced to face your demons, right? The ghost of Christmas past, the fail Mary right in front of your face. Oh, you're back to 2-2. You had a good victory last week. You beat the Dallas Cowboys. You know, then you beat the Raiders. You get the bye week. You get to enjoy it. And then now you got to come face a true test a team that made a deep playoff run in the Washington Commanders, that have what some people consider one of the better quarterbacks in the league, the number one rushing attack. They have, you know, guys that were out, of course, you know, no Noah Brown, the guy who caught the Hail Mary last year, no Terry McLaurin. I mean, dealing with some injuries, right? But the fact of the matter is, so is everyone else. Bears didn't have Jalen Johnson, right? Braxton Jones not there. Darnell Wright coming back from an injury. I mean, you saw DJ Moore throughout the game wincing in pain. And if you didn't hear an update on DJ Moore, he was taken to the hospital following the game. Precautionary reasons. Antoine Randall-L took the ride with him, so we'll get an update on that a little bit later. But this is a statement victory for the Bears. A gritty one. One that they needed. One that they can take into these next couple of weeks, because I will never, because you can see it as the Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles, the Patriots beat the Bills. There's no guaranteed victories in the NFL, right? Any given Sunday exists for a reason. And I actually had the Bears pegged when I was looking at this thing to lose this next game against the Saints. I thought their pass defense of the Saints was going to be better. They have some good cornerback play. I thought Spencer Rattler was going to have a chip on his shoulder. But it's going to be interesting. At home, can you imagine for 1 second what this stadium is going to sound like? What Soldier Field is going to sound like on Sunday, 12 o'clock, when the Bears come home 3-2 against the New Orleans Saints? I mean, listen, if you're looking for a trap game, this is it. This is the trap game.
I will say I am very glad the Saints got their first win out of the way already.
Fair enough, right? You didn't want them to have to.
Do you think that matters?
Yes. Yes, I mean, you hear it all the time, Tyler, where they say, you know, a team doesn't want to go 0-3 because their playoff chances just goes to nil. And so teams that are 0-2 play with a chip on their shoulder, right? Teams that lose, for example, I thought the Buffalo Bills were going to win by 20 last night against the Atlanta Falcons. Clay Harbor, you know, former NFL tight end, friend of 670 The Score, he's on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN. That show comes on right before my show, The Chicago Lead. We were talking yesterday before the shows. He's like, something's fishy here. Why are they only favored by 3.5 against the Atlanta Falcons? I said, well, they got Bijan Robinson, and the Bills don't have the best run defense in the league. It's a trap game. Again, coming off this victory or that loss to the Patriots, now having to face this one. And you saw, Falcons were up 21-7 early in this one. Now, let's not forget, Alvin Kamara, rumors have it that he declined the trade to the Kansas City Chiefs. Rumors have it that that's the case. He said he wanted to stay with the New Orleans Saints. It's where he's been. He's there. Kendre Miller, their backup running back. So they have their own two-headed monster, right? Let's not forget, Chris Olave is there. They have a really good offensive line. So, you know, they're capable. And they have another mobile quarterback they're going to face. So, fortunately, they got a sample of it yesterday with Jaden Daniels. And now they get to go up against that. But after that, they go on the road to Baltimore to face a team that might still be without Lamar Jackson, depending on what that, oh my gosh, crumbling looks like for that team. Then Cincinnati Bengals, no Joe Burrow, Joe Flacco there now.
Bad defense.
Bad? Who? Bengals?
Cincinnati.
Man, don't say that to Mr. Hendrickson.
Rest of the unit. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good game, right? And then the Giants come to town. Jackson Dart feeling himself, right? Cam Scatabo, another running back the Bears passed up this season. I mean, they're coming to town. Then after that, on the road against the Minnesota Vikings, trying to get your lick back.
Mm.
It's going to be a good one. I mean, but again, this is what you're looking for. I mean, and then it's kind of a gauntlet after that. Yeah. Steelers, Eagles, Packers.
Mm. Steelers, home, Eagles, road, Packers, home.
Road.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Packers home game is the Christmas game, almost the Christmas game.
Yeah, and then you go Cleveland, do a little Dylan Gabriel action.
That's away.
My brother just lied to me. He told me, because I'm going, you know, every year I go on a road trip.
One you're going to this year.
The Niners.
Yes.
And I was talking to my brother earlier. He told me that it was week 18. He thought it was the last game of the season with playoff implications, if that were to be the case. Not trying to look ahead, but if that were to be the case. But it's week 17. The last game of the season is against the Lions.
which quarterback you think the Bears will see, Mac Jones or Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy for sure.
You think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not going to you don't give Brock Purdy a bajillion dollars and then say Mac Jones will put you
in. By the way, who was right about Brock Purdy?
What?
Remember we made that bet?
That he was going to get him paid?
Yep. You said the 49ers were getting Aaron Rodgers.
Is that what I said?
Yep.
I don't know if I said that.
I remember you said that.
Did I say that?
I said the 49ers will pay Brock Purdy somewhere between $50 and $60 million.
You know what it is? Kyle Shanahan doesn't want that nonsense in his backyard. He doesn't want Aaron Rodgers, the cowboy, to get out there and try to do that.
I never said it was the right decision. I just said there's no other way how they're going to go about quarterback.
Well, the good thing is we have our quarterback. Caleb Williams today, 17 for 29, 252 yards, had himself a day. I mean, this is what we wanted, Bears fans. This is what you wanted, to not worry about the quarterback position, and not saying that he's without fault. Listen, the accuracy wasn't there in certain situations, but the fact of the matter is that he's capable. He's capable of putting up points in the last 2 minutes, capable of getting it done, and of course, that's what we saw today. Caleb Williams handling business for the Chicago Bears. They take down the Washington Commanders 25-24. I am Gabe Ramirez right here, live and local on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Caleb Williams, as I mentioned, 17 for 29 on the day, one touchdown, had a QBR of 37. Not the greatest right there, but four rushes. Minus 2 yards, ended up getting the touchdown, winning the red zone.
Wait, can you say Caleb's QBR again?
37.2.
Who?
Cares.
Cares.
We got the victory,
that's
baby.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
And he didn't turn the ball over.
Another game without the team didn't, you know, and I think that's what really stands out when we're talking about this game. When it comes, it's a turnover battle, right? It would have been bad. Listen. The game against the Raiders, with all the turnovers the Bears had and almost losing that one, that would have been tough, right? Because if you win the turnover battle, more often than not, you take home the victory. And this one, quite the same, right? If it wasn't for that last-minute fumble by Jaden Daniels, the Bears would have had the forced fumble by Montez Sweat, the interception by Jaquan Brisker, and would have lost that game with those two key turnovers. But the fact of the matter is they didn't. Bears came through despite the 9 penalties for 84 yards. Bears only 1 for 3 in the red zone. You saw the stat that they put up where they said the Bears have gone 36 consecutive drives without scoring a touchdown.
I saw that.
When they start within their own 20-yard line. That is brutal.
That's damning.
Brutal in that situation. But you know what? Doesn't who?
Who?
Cares because the Bears got the victory today. All right, I care about your phone calls because I am here for you. I'm not here to listen to myself talk. I don't like a solo show. Shout out to Tyler Ferengoff for holding me down in the producing abilities. But you can text in or you can call in. Again, I'm curious your thoughts about this game in particular when we're talking about the Bears. Did it make you confident that the Bears pulled off this one? Or did it make you nervous because there were still so many things to work on? What did you think about this victory? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez again here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your phone calls next. 312-644-6767 right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The school.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
Second and goal. Caleb takes it, gets a block from Swift, and is in for the touchdown. That's now 9, maybe 10 points off turnovers already, and Swift was out there leading the way.
Yeah, I think Caleb Williams thought he was going to get a little better block than that with DeAndre Swift. It looked initially like Williams was just walking, but Swift just wasn't quite able to get enough, but yet Williams had the angle for the score.
You're listening to 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Chicago Bears victory Tuesday. A Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I'm just the beginning of what we got going on here in this whole thing. Of course, I am talking about all day today on 670 The Score. We got you covered. Of course, I am kicking things off right now. And then I'm leading you into Dustin Rhodes, the executive producer extraordinaire from Mullion Hall. He's going to take over at 5 o'clock, get you all the minute details of the game, and I'm sure some updates on Major League Baseball playoffs as well. And then after that, he's leading you right into Mullion Hall, and they got some great guests for you. Of course, Olin Krutz, 7 o'clock, jumping on with the fellas, the famed center for the Chicago Bears. Then Dave Wonstadt's going to jump on at 7:40 to talk about some good stuff. Brad Biggs will join at 8:25. Then TJ Edwards back from the injured list and played a great game yesterday. Of course, being a key component, Noah Sewell went out with that concussion. You saw Dennis Allen kind of lead. Instead of, I thought, or most people thought, with Kyler Gordon back, the Bears were going to lean on that nickel package. But because Kyler Gordon had been out, Dennis Allen had been leaning on his base package. Because it was Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards both out. So with Noah Sewell there, he kind of wanted to operate in a base package. And we were unaware of what direction he was going to go in now that everyone was back healthy. So it'll be interesting to hear from TJ Edwards at 9:30. Then Raheemy Harrison Grody, they keep things going. Patrick Manley jumps on at 11 o'clock. Anthony Heron jumps on at 12:25. And then Tim Jenkins, the quarterback whisperer, hangs out with the group at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes, rounding things out in the afternoon. They got Kurt Warner at 2:40. He's going to be jumping on talking about Caleb Williams. And then Matt Forte, former Bears running back. Matt Forte is going to jump on at 3 o'clock as well. You heard the run right there from Caleb Williams. Of course, Bears defeat the Washington Commanders 25-24. Caleb Williams 17-29. 250 yards on the day. Just had himself a game. This is what you want, right? One rushing touchdown, one throwing, one passing. It's what you want ultimately. One to DeAndre Swift on the 55-yarder. It just felt good to get these kinds of victories. And, you know, was Caleb perfect? No. But in the moments that define grown-up football, right, he managed the game. 252 yards is nothing to scoff at. He had the passing touchdown, the rushing touchdown. And then late in the game, this was most important to me. He didn't chase hero ball. Now, obviously, Ben Johnson's calling the plays, but Caleb Williams protected the clock, took the free yards, got you into plus territory, and ultimately trusted the fact that Jake Moody, the offense, was going to do their part and get the victory. That's maturity right there. That's what you want. You win with the operation in the NFL, whether the formation comes in, you're motion out, you're going to check with me at the line, everyone's on the same page in the rain, you're going to look at the sequence. This is what you want. Methodical snaps was great. And then the walk-off from 38-yard, that's quarterbacking right there, ladies and gentlemen. And he did it at a very high rate, and it was great to see Bears above 500, 3-2, confident. Ben Johnson with his little lisp at the podium, which we're going to hear in a little bit. I don't know. Does he have Invisalign? My wife just got Invisalign, and she's talking with a lisp. I didn't catch Ben Johnson and think that he had a lisp when he was talking.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah, honestly. Wait. We're about to play some Ben Johnson for you in just a second. Pay attention to his lisp. I don't know if somebody got a hold of him and was like, hey, bro, you need to relax up there at the podium, you know, because he was kind of...
Maybe a little adrenaline still from that locker room.
Getting a little hyped up right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Caleb Williams, before I wrap the bow on it, right, it's not going to be fireworks every night. It's not going to be that. And, you know, the good thing is you don't need that. You got to find different ways to win in the NFL. Some nights are about, you know, just steering the ship properly through the choppy waters. And that's what he did. Right. I hope you're seeing the same growth I am. Right. Or is it just you needing the big gaudy stat lines to stand out for you? Because I've gotten some comments on the text lines that one person in particular still, despite the victory, said that they want to see Tyson Bagent on the text lines from 773. He said, Caleb's too inaccurate. I would like to see what Tyson Bagent could do with this team. Come on, bro. Chill out. But I'm curious what you have to say. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear what you have to say about Caleb Williams, specifically Caleb Williams, right? Got the victory today, managed the offense. They only punted twice. I'm curious what your thoughts are, right? Phones are open. Where are you on Caleb? Are you impressed? Or are you still holding on to receipts about him being inaccurate? I could care less. I don't know why, because he makes the play when it matters. Whether it's a now, did he miss some people? Yeah. We saw Rome. We saw you with your hand up in the air. When, you know what I'm talking about? When Caleb Williams ran for the first down.
The third down scramble,
yeah. Yeah, he ran for the first down. But look, I don't mind it. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that Caleb Williams has confidence in not only his abilities, but his offense's abilities, right? What they can do. Like, hey, check it out, Papa. You're going to get that opportunity again. That's not going to be the only time you're going to beat this coverage. We're going to find you again over the top. And I think that's what it is there more often than not. But Caleb Williams, he's my QB1. Did I think Drake May was better than him? Yes. Coming out of college? Yes. Did I want? Like, I was in on Drake May. I kept telling people, everybody thought I was crazy when I would talk here on 670 The Score. I was like, I like Drake May. Do you remember that, Baby T?
Oh, yeah.
You
went down the quarterback rabbit hole a ton for that 2024 draft.
Dude, that was when I was watching a ton of college football. Like I said, big Pac-12 fan, but Drake May stood out every week, and you want to know what stood out the most? Is that North Carolina's team sucked.
And he was not good.
And he was still balling. And that's what I say. Guys like Tyler Warren, guys like Deshaun Watson, I mean, obviously he's got his personal issues, but you know, when you win a national championship, when you play well against teams, the expectation is that you're going to be able to do it at the highest level in the NFL. And so for me, Drake May was like, bro, you look smooth. And if you could do that with crappy teammates, what are you going to look like when you get to the NFL and you throw in Stephon Diggs and Travion Henderson and Kayshon Boot and Hunter Henry, right? Professional players. It's going to look like it's looking right now where he's putting up three tutties. It's looking smooth. Look effortless.
Patriots leading the AFC East, by the way.
I mean,
crazy.
Is it?
Well, I mean, I know with the head-to-head, but like, I don't think we would have said that through 6 weeks.
Who? Me? I'm a Drake May fan.
Here we are.
You know what I'm saying? But does it make me want him instead of Caleb Williams? No.
Nope.
I love Caleb Williams' heart. I love his grit. I love everything. You know what I didn't love? Them snapping the ball before the two-minute warning or the end of the quarter. What was that about?
I have no idea.
You never see a team do that.
I couldn't tell at first. We were debating, me and my family watching the game. We're like, did they mean to snap that? It didn't look like Caleb was ready for the snap. But then when you saw him on the sideline, he looked like he was very agitated. But
like
then
what
when
happened?
When you saw the replay on the field, he looked ready for the snap, and the ball just went right through his hands.
Yeah, and it was just... I don't know, man. It really just threw everyone off. And Lauren Screeden, you know, she's all Bears everything. She's just a great human being. She posted up on her Instagram, @LScreeden. She posted up on her Instagram, and she turned it into a GIF where they were zooming in on DJ Moore because when Caleb Williams was on the sideline after that particular play, DJ Moore had pursed lips on the sideline, like, man, I don't know. So I don't know if he was listening to Caleb, like, Yeah, I don't know why we did that to begin with. So it'd be interesting.
I know a lot of teams do that to try and throw teams off, but where they were in that situation with a third and one, no need to snap that ball.
No one. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I believe it was they went on a, what was it, 14-3 run, or what was the, they outscored them 24-3.
Yeah, when the Bears went up 13-0, yeah.
Yeah, and after that, they went on a 24-3 run. So I could see the Commanders did. So I could see where they were trying to get some points on the board, but no one ever does that. Everybody just lets the clock run out. No one's trying to fool you into getting an extra play, but ultimately that's what happened there. But phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score up until 5 o'clock on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday. But you know what? We've been talking about Caleb Williams. Let's play a little bit of him, baby T. Got Tyler Ferengul producing today. Because maybe somebody asked him that question in the postgame. I don't believe they did. But let's take a listen to hear what Caleb Williams had to say following this Big Bears victory.
What's up, everybody? Any more up here? Or you...
All right. What's up with you? How'd that feel?
Yeah, it felt great. Back in, you know, hometown, obviously, and being able to come out with a win like that is big for us. Big for us as a team. Big as, you know, big for us as an offense, special team. Just overall big for us. And you know, that's a hell of a team over there. So being able to come out victorious in a dogfight where, you know, things weren't perfect, weather wasn't perfect, and being able to come out victorious is big for us. So feel great.
When you're on the sideline and you see the ball come out, what's going through?
Time to go win the game and not give the ball back to them again, because we've seen, you know, they can, you know, be explosive in those moments, and you know, I think defense would have done, you know, did a great job you know, again, but the mindset was be able to hold the ball, run the ball, make them use their timeouts, stay in bounds, you know, play smart situational football at the end of the game and go win.
We talked last week about your performance late in games.
Yep.
What was it like to see DeAndre kind of be?
Man, love DeAndre, man. I think this is my second year with him, and he's such a character for us as a team, his energy. And so being able to get him going is really important for us. And, I mean, I couldn't be more happy for him finally to, you know, when you have moments like this, it does lift a little, you know, weight off your chest and shoulders. So we want to keep that going. We want to keep the run game going. But we wouldn't be able to, you know, and Swift knows this and I know this, that we wouldn't be able to have, you know, what we have without the wide receivers blocking on the edge and, you know, obviously the offensive linemen and tight ends in the box being able to, you know, spring runs like that for him.
Well, DeAndre said that on that 5-yard touchdown catch, he credited you with getting the ball to him a little early.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it from your perspective.
Yeah, I messed up the play call. And so good, great job to the guys, you know, getting lined up in that situation and us being able to get something off. And, you know, great job to Swift, ran a great route. And you know, he got his eyes around, had a lot of space. So I wanted him to get the ball early so he can go, you know, make play in space, which he does best. So he made a great play and went 55 yards for us.
What is that play called?
Can't tell you the name.
Okay, all right.
Come on, man.
You said you messed up the play call. By the time the snap was off today, was it right? Was it what
it was? We end up fixing it when the ball got snapped.
What does it mean to you personally to be able to lead a winning drive here, you know, in your hometown against this team with considering what happened on this field last
year? Yeah. I love it. It's I had a bunch of friends and things like that in town, you know, family, things like that here. So being able to come out victorious is obviously awesome. That's kind of it.
Caleb, you mentioned getting the ball back and saying, okay, let's go.
Yep.
You guys had the ball at the 9 coming out with 7 minutes to
mm-hmm.
when it didn't go well.
Yep.
How do you kind of – you've talked about your own trying to keep a good head about yourself.
Yeah.
Come off to the sideline there, are you frustrated?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you not show it?
I think it's something that I've worked on. That's been something important for me because I know everybody's looking at me for my body language and you know how I'm moving on the sideline, my energy. Because in those moments, we don't have time for that. Simple as that. It's time to go win. It's time to you know, it's 5 minutes on the clock, and they defense is out there to go make a great play for us like they did, and we have belief in that as a team, and we know that's going to happen. And so I think being able to stay strong in those moments mentally is most important, and that's what I did. That's what we did. We stayed steady through all the ups and downs that we had in adversity throughout this game. We stayed steady as a team mentally. We didn't flinch, and we kept going.
Caleb, is this a step toward moving on from what happened last year? Did you layer a good memory over the bad one?
I don't think any of those memories necessarily go away. Good or bad. I think you move on from it, but the you know, it doesn't ever necessarily fully go away. So being able to have this good moment is great, but you know, we got a big game coming up this week, so we got to move on again.
Are you looking forward to years of these kind of battles with Jaden?
Yeah. I think you play versus great players, you want to have those games, have those moments where you're playing versus somebody else on the opposite side. That's, you know, you're going to have a battle. He knows that. I know that. There's other players in this league where, you know, you're going to have a battle, and you want to play versus those type of players and have those type of games where it's going to come down to the wire and things like that. We all love 30-point wins, but those games and things like that, they mean a lot for us, and they're also extremely fun.
Caleb, what was it like seeing Jake, the 38-yarder, going through the upright at the end?
It was awesome. Being able to, you know, kind of hear about his story after he got here. I didn't necessarily fully know who he was when he got here. And so being able to hear about his story when he got here and being able to see him work and being able to, kind of have this moment. I know he's been, some tough moments. And, so having this moment for him, I know is important. It's important for us. It's a big moment for him to be able to go out there and come through. I mean, kudos to him, and we love him for that.
DeAndre said he didn't meet Jake until tonight. When did you meet him?
I met Jake as soon as he got here. I shook his hand as soon as he got here. I introduced myself. I try to make sure I know everybody on the team. But, I met him early on.
Caleb, your touchdown run in the first half. What was your vision on that ball before the snap, and then obviously when you got it?
I actually didn't think the play was going to work because there was three defenders sitting outside of the tackle over there. So I was, when the ball got snapped, I was like, uh-oh, I might have to go make a play. And then it worked out. So kudos to Coach for dialing that up in that moment. And then obviously Dre Swift allowing me to get the edge and, go for the pylon.
Caleb, for you guys to find ways to win in dramatic fashion, what does that do for this locker room?
Yeah, it's big because we know that we can win these games in those moments. When the game is close, defense does a good job stopping them. We go down and score, and defense goes back out and stops them, or whatever the case, however, situation goes down. We know that we can win these games in these moments, in these big moments. So we would like to win by 30. But that's not always the case, and that's not always going to be the case. And so being able to know we can win these games is really important.
Caleb, this is a big off season for this team, and you mentioned for yourself and
different
body language, things like that. Do moments like this make you realize it's all worth it, and I really appreciate the work that I put in?
Yeah, we got something. I can't say the first word, but it starts with an S and ends with a T. We say we love this. We love it. The hard work, the effort, everything that pays off. I mean, we love it. At the end of the day, we're itching for wins. We're itching to get back out there and practice and things like that because all the hard work is paying off. That feeling is really, 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 really good. It feels really good that hard work does pay off, and it always does. It always pays back.
A couple more. Unless you guys are good.
Caleb, you mentioned how you didn't think that the touchdown play call was going to work, but, like, how does
the way Ben puts creativity into the run game, you know, help out on the field and show results there?
Yeah, he is a mastermind. And so being able to have him, sometimes he's on the headset and it's like, this is a great play call right here. Here we go. And so he did that today, and he says that to me. And so he has all belief and confidence in himself. And then, you know, those little things actually provide confidence, you know, when you're about to go call the play and, you know, you line up and you're like, uh-oh. And then the play actually works. And so the belief and trust in him, the faith in him that he's dialing it up and he does every time.
Caleb, kind of in that same
last one here.
Yeah, working with Ben now, five games in, just where is that relationship? And
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you feel like excited about where it's going?
Yeah, I'm excited every single day that I get to wake up and be coached by him. And I know the other guys are also. I think we believe in him. We trust him. We trust our other coaches. You know, and I think that's going to continue to keep growing. The belief in him is there, and we want to win for him. And we obviously want to win for us and the Chicago Bears. Awesome, the Bears.
Bears, with a period at the end. I tweeted that out earlier today, before the game started. Says because if you put a period, then people know what you're saying. They can hear it in their head when they're reading on Twitter. Bears.
Awesome. The Bears.
Bears. Caleb Williams, of course, had himself a game today. Bears get the victory 25-24, which is odd because they also beat the Las Vegas Raiders 25-24, which is just weird. A weird score, but he was 17 for 29 on the day, 252 yards, had a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown to DeAndre Swift. He was efficient, selective with his shots, but I'm curious, did you want a higher volume, right, when you're thinking about this? I love the fact that, of course, the run game was working for the Bears today. DeAndre Swift had himself one, but, you know, 17 for 29 isn't great. Right, you're just above 50% right there. I know he himself would want to be a little bit higher with that. So I guess it's like, do you prefer that poise and operation over big play hunting? Because he did take some shots, and he almost had two interceptions. Two of them were dropped. One of them, I think, was for Colson Loveland. Just went right through the guy's hands.
In the red zone, right?
Yeah, in the red. It was right there. Two of them. And then another one got tipped and should have been. I mean, so he, you know, Bears caught the caught a break on a couple of those instances. But again, man, curious what you guys are thinking about Caleb Williams. 312-644-6767. I mean, for me, I'm all in. He had pink fingernails today. I wish I had. I'm going to go home and borrow my daughter's fingernail paint.
I said right away, I don't know if I told you, Gabe, I said right away, if he leads the Bears to the Super Bowl, I'm getting my nails painted.
You know what?
I don't even care.
Check it out. All right, so I'm on Chicago Lead all week this week. Shout out to David Hall and the whole CHSN crew. I'm going to do it. Watch the show today, later today. I'll be on at 6 o'clock. Me and David Hall. David's not the only one doing double duties around here, all right? He's doing a real morning show. But I'll be on with David Hall, and don't nobody tell David, unless you text in and tell him. I'm going to first I'm going to double check that his nails were pink today. or last night, Caleb Williams. And then I'm coming in with some pink nails. Just one at least. My pinky. No? Why are you smiling over there?
No. I
don't
like
be judging
it.
Me, bro.
I'm not judging you.
Okay.
I like it.
Do you? Because you look like you're being judgy.
No, I do. I do.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, if Caleb Williams, we had this discussion on last week, which was which Chicago sports team has the best fans, right? And the argument was because the Cubs had just won two straight at Wrigley and everybody was talking about how electric it was, right? Craig Council, Mr. Murphy from the Milwaukee Brewers. And I made the argument. No, sorry. I was on with Grody last week on Friday. And we had the discussion, who has the best fan base? People were texting in saying that I was an idiot because I said it was the Bears. Let me tell you something. If Caleb Williams takes the Bears to the playoffs and they, for whatever reason, happen to have a home playoff game and they win, that place is going to go bananas. People are going to be throwing nail polish from the stands instead of hats during the hat trick. They're going to be throwing nail polish so Caleb can paint his nails whenever he wants. And I'm in on it. I have zero problem with nail painting.
Nope. Me neither.
Oh, my gosh. I remember.
I'll do dual, like blue-orange, yeah. Or just do one hand blue, one hand orange.
I'll do whatever. I'll write Caleb on my
fingers. Hitting the claw any chance I get.
Five letters, C-A-L-E-B, on your little claw. Mm. You could put all of them on there, and then he could be on there. And you know what? And if Ben Johnson leads us there, I might be as smug as Ben Johnson after he gets us a victory. And you know what? We're going to hear from Ben Johnson in the 3 o'clock hour, but I'd love to hear from you. Hear your thoughts. You're waking up right now. You're starting your third shift or you're at your third shift. What'd you think about this Bears victory? How good are you feeling after the Bears totally redeemed themselves against the Washington Commanders so that everyone could shut up about Jaden Daniels being better than Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams came out, balled out despite Jaden Daniels throwing for 3 touchdowns. Eek, that was pretty good. And looking good back there. But I'd still would rather have Caleb Williams. Do you feel the same way? 312-644-6767. I'm taking your phone calls on the other side, so get them in right now. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I am Gabe Ramirez, and you're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.